unfastened. That's what the subject is today. Unfasten yourself from the worries and the troubles of this world. That's what God wants you to do. And He makes that clear in several places. We're going to pick it up, if we may, in the 13th chapter of the great book of Hebrews. And remember, this chapter follows chapter 12, which talked about the great shaking, meaning the very end at Christ's return. And that great shaking, this what follows. Reassurance. Don't get shook up on your first cruise. And don't get fastened into the ways of the world. Unhook from it. You don't need it. You have a better way. Verse 5, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 reads, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. You've earned it. It's all yours. Be happy with it. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." This word leave is anenesis in the Greek, and it means just that. I'm never going to unhook from you. I'm never going to cut any slack between us. As long as you love me and as long as you stay with me, I'm going to be with you. I'll never forsake you. But the word leave is the hinge here. And it comes from the great book of Deuteronomy. And we'll go there in a moment, but let's continue on. "For that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." You don't have to fear man. When God is with you, what are you going to worry about some little mortal about? Okay. In the first place, if you have the knowledge of God, you're a lot sharper than he is. You have God's blessings wherever you are. What are you worried about? Your own self? Your inabilities? Well, with his help, you should be right up the top rung. No apologies. Unhook yourself from the worries of this world and from the things of this world and be free. Be free in him. Again, he will never leave you. That word leave is the subject. And he will never forsake you. But if God is with you, it doesn't matter who's against you. You're a winner already. Verse 7. "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." In other words, if their conversation ends out to be true and to be the word of God, you can honor that. If it doesn't, you listen to a fraud. Okay. And it's real easy to discern the difference. Well, how do I know? Whether it's the word of God or not. Chapter by chapter and verse by verse. That's real simple. A child can understand. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, God's word never changes. So don't let some man change it on you when you have Almighty God that's always stable, always the same, and he's never going to separate from you. You may separate from him. You may have a bad moment and drift away, but that's your fault, not God's, because God will not let no slack. When I think of slack, I'm an old plowboy. I've plowed with teams and horses, and if you get a team and one old pony wants to let a little slack in the traces, he's lazy. Okay, he's not doing his part. Well, God says, I'm never going to let any slack in the line for you. He'll always take care of his part if you take care of yours. Verse 9, "Be not carried away with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace." That's the grace of Christ, of course. "Not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein." In other words, there's only one thing that profits you overall. That's the Word of God. And His promises. His promises are not void. They're real. Turn with me now. Let's go where you always need a second witness from the old and the new. Well, where is the first witness to this? Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31, we're going to pick it up with verse 6. Verse 6, you remember what follows in Deuteronomy 32, that's the song of Moses. So this is the groundwork for that song. And verse 6 reads, "Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." This word fail is the same word as slack, only in Hebrew it is rapha. And what it means is, I'm not going to let any slack come between us in the Hebrew tongue. No slack between us. And again, you want to remember that. Father's always going to carry his part of the load. Verse 7. "And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it." You do it. But how? Verse 8. "And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee." There's the word again. He's not going to let slack come in there. "Neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." I really have difficulty understanding why people get all shook up. I really don't understand how people can be so afraid. Maybe even of what the government does. If you don't like what the government does, do something about it. In a peaceful way, punch the right button. Okay? And get rid of your troubles. It's that simple. God will take care of the rest. Nothing to fear, nothing to worry about. And verse 9, "And Moses wrote this law," and it is a law, "and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel." I mean, put it right on the mercy seat. That's where the ark of the covenant is, where the mercy seat rests. "And Moses commanded them, saying, At the end of every 7 years," that's a sabbatical year, "in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles," what are you going to do? Verse 11, "when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men, women, and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God," that's reverence him, "and observe to do all the words of this law." It's important. Well, what was that? Well, number one, he's never going to leave you nor forsake you. He's never going to let any slack in the line. Can you hold your part of it? That's the question. 13, "and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to revere the Lord your God as long as you live in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it." And throughout all the migrations, we possess those. Well, wonder why it is we always possess. Well, because he's not going to let any slack in. We've always got the victory. Those of you that have been in actual combat for this nation, you know that. You know that God is with us. You don't have to be reminded. And you know and you understand it. That we're a blessed people in God we trust. And so it is. There are some that would like to take that away from you. But don't let any slack in the line. Okay. And separate yourself. Unload. from world conditions and stay in your Father's Word. Stay with your Father's blessings. Remind Him of His promises so that you have them. Now, in teaching God's Word, even in a troubled world, I'm going to take you somewhere and give you an example of how a man, Paul, we're going to use Paul as an example. He was totally innocent of having done any wrong. And yet he was arrested and tried. But by telling truth, and by the fact that God chose him, that he was a chosen vessel of God, Acts chapter 9, verse 15, documenting, a chosen vessel of God, that God wasn't going to let anything happen to him until the work was finished. So even in bounds, God doesn't let in slack. That's why I want you to go to Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24 in the New Testament. Paul has been tied up here pretty good. He said, hey, where's my accusers? They're not here. What did I do wrong? I did nothing wrong. I was in the temple purifying myself and so forth. But they couldn't answer that. But chapter 24, verse 23. And he commanded, while he was in the Roman captivity, and he commanded a centurion to keep Paul, that's a man over 1,000, and to let him have liberty. Your word is liberty, okay? That means, liberty means unfastened, meaning rest, peace, meaning not inhibited from still practicing God's word. Have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintances to minister or come unto him. He could still write the New Testament. That is God's own way, even in captivity, of allowing through this word liberty, which is anethos, to relax and to rest. That means to Sabbath in the Lord God Himself, in the Holy Spirit. It's basically the same thought as the word mansion, mono in the Greek, means to rest in the Lord and the Father through the Comforter. Okay. And that's what you have. So regardless of how rough times may get, then don't forget what God promised you. I'm not going to cut any slack in the line. You keep it tight. Keep the faith. Don't worry. I'm still on the throne, is what he's saying. I'm in charge. I can bring about whatever I choose to bring about. And he loves you. And he's going to protect you. Verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. He loved to hear it. I mean, who doesn't love to hear the word of God? Even this Roman. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. But typical man of the world, almost persuaded, all right, but not. Verse 26, to complete, he hoped also that money should have been given him, bribe, a big bribe of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. I want to do a little something with that. He wanted to loose him. He had already loosed him. He was unfastened. He was not hampered by the Roman government. He was not hampered by Felix, Drusilla, or anyone else. Why? Because of God's promise. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will let no slack in the line. And so it is that he keeps that taunt protecting you, leading you, guiding you, and using you if you do your part. But let me remind you of something. If God doesn't let any slack in the line, don't you either. Makes him real unhappy and disappoints him much. So you keep that slack out of the line also, letting God know, here I am, use me. When God said, who can I send? Say, send me. Always be ready to serve him. And there you have it. Now let's go to 2 Thessalonians. New Testament, 2 Thessalonians. Verse 1 of chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians. And it reads, Paul and Silvanus, that's Silas, and Timotheus, that's Timothy, unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The full title, verse 2, grace unto you, that's Christ's grace, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you attain that peace, or do you get all shook up about the things in the world? It is necessary that you pay attention to what's happening in the world, but don't you let it get to you. For you know who's on the throne. And you know what his plan is. You've read it. Tomorrow is no great mystery to you, because he has spoken to you through the word. He has promised, I will never let slack in that line, don't you? I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. That brings happiness. Verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity, the love of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. The love of Christ and his grace in that church is far exceeding your bounds. It's going even out to other people because they want that peace of mind. 4, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience. You got lots of that, don't you? Patience and faith in all your persecutions. Even if there's trouble, even if the government doesn't do right, you've still got patience, temperance, and faith, and tribulations that you endure. He says, I'm happy you endure that and never let slack in that line. You're always right there with him. Which means what? God can count on you. He can use someone like you. When you hear him, trust him, and follow him. Verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer. That's where you're going to end up, in the kingdom of God. The kingship and Almighty God's kingdom. 6, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Don't ever forget that. Well, I just like to worry. Well, you're wasting your time. That's folly. When God is on the throne, and he knows who picks on his kids. Just like when somebody picks on one of your kids brutally, you're going to take action. Well, are you better than God? I don't think so. When somebody picks on you, if you're one of God's elect, he will take action. He is a God you can trust. He will never let slack in that line. And when you unfasten yourself from the ways of this world and stay in the harness, keep those tugs tight, doing God's work, and I'm not saying to be a fanatic, but to have peace of mind and in the love of Almighty God know how to continue. And for he does, he knows how to bother those that bother you. Verse 7, why we came here. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. And this word rest is anastasis. It means no slack. It means just exactly that, to keep the lines tight, to let nothing between, that you are resting, living, Sabbathing. That's what rest means, is Sabbath, in Almighty God Himself. Okay. Rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. He's coming, my friend. He always keeps His promises. You can almost hear them at this time. So rest in Him. But I want to worry. Why? Why would you want to worry about things in this world? Unfasten yourself and keep the traces taut, that no slack comes in, and God will not let slack come on His part. That's the reason we came here, is the word rest. Rest, liberty, and many other ways as it is used to loose yourself from the troubles of this world. Sometimes I think people just love misery, the way they like to hang on to things, when it's so much better. Do you know why Felix trembled? Because it was truth, and he knew it. And he knew if he give up his belief in Caesar as God and recognize Jesus Christ, he would have that peace. He could not do that. Verse 8, he did not do that. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and they obeyed not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that time is coming when these things are paramount. The truth is the Word of God. Stay with it. 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of, from, away, a long way from, the Lord and from the glory of His power. That's why you don't want to be separated from Him. Only, listen to me, only you can separate yourself from God. He's not going to do it, because He has promised you, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never fail you. That's a big word, fail. I will never fail you. You find me some person that could make that statement and have the halls to make it stick. Okay? There's not. But your Father can. And He has proved it over and over and over. Verse 10. When He shall come to be glorified in His saints, that's God's elect, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore, verse 11, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and faith, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness, and the work of faith and with power. Don't let slack in the line. That's doubt. You understand? That's doubt in your mind. Don't you dare ever let doubt come in your mind. He's on the throne and He's in action. Was yesterday, He is today, and He will be forever. Verse 12 to complete. At the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father needs to be glorified in you. That's what elect are for. He didn't choose the elect to be a bunch of worrywarts. He didn't choose God's elect to tie themselves up in the ways of the world when the kingdom is right there. But to look up, to enjoy that kingdom and the blessings of God, whereby you have that freedom, that liberty, and that rest called peace of mind in Him. You unfasten yourself, loose yourself from the hang-ups of this earth age. Satan would like nothing better than to pull God's elect into the ditch. It's not going to happen. Why? Because you know the truth. Now, to complete, one more verse. We're going to the great book of Psalms. You know, you hold your Bible right there and split it right in the middle, and you're in Psalms, basically, or Isaiah, right there. Okay, we're going to go to Psalms 146 to complete. Psalms 146, and it reads, "Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord, O my soul." You'll never find a better thing for your soul to do. Do you know who owns your soul? Have you ever read Ezekiel 18:4? You find out there God owns it. You don't get around to giving it to Him. He's got it. Okay. "While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being." That's if it was my last breath. Don't let slack in the line. Verse 3, "Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man," that means a mortal man, "in whom there is no help." Don't get all involved in governmental situations. They're not going to help you. Well, where will I put my faith then? If you don't know, I'm not telling you. Okay. We just read it. Verse 4, "His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth," man does, "in that very day his thoughts perish." When he dies, he's going back to dirt. So do you want to trust God or do you want to trust man? Okay. Your choice. Verse 5, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." One that has promised he'll never fail you, that he'll never let slack in the line, he'll always be with you. Why would you turn your back on him? You wouldn't. Verse 6. "Which made heaven," I mean he created the whole thing, look up at it sometime, "and earth," look at it, "and the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever." That's the way he is. Do you know something? He created you along with it in the first earth age, your soul, your being. Do you know why? He wanted somebody like you. I don't know why, but he did. Okay. He wanted someone just like you. Why? Because he loves you. That's why. Verse 7, here's why we came. "Which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners." He unfastens you. He cuts you loose from the troubles of this world. If you believe, do you? Or do you like to play Christian? That separates the boys from the men. That separates Christians from would-be Christians, whether you believe or not. Because belief is what makes it a reality, not a religion. He takes care of everything. And he looses, unfastens those that get involved if they turn to him. And watches over them, protects them. When even those that have allowed themselves to be imprisoned with thoughts and worries and concerns in this world, these world situations. Verse 8, "The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind." That's those that are spiritually blind and otherwise. "The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous." And he does, his children especially. Verse 9, "The Lord preserveth the stranger. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. That's the orphan and the widow he takes care. But the way of the wicked, he turneth upside down. And so do they, that they try to make right wrong and wrong right. And to complete the lecture, one more verse, 10. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations, including this one. Praise ye the Lord, and you should, because he is good to us, and because he protects us. Unloose yourself. Be unfastened from the troubles of this world, and look up, for your Redeemer draweth nigh. We're getting close to that door, and he loves you. How he loves you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for the privilege of serving you. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, for your promises to us, that you'll never leave us, that you'll never forsake us. All the strength that this gives us, Father, to know as long as we follow your word, that we have your blessings. Thank you indeed. In Yeshua, Jesus' precious name, amen.